Chapter 13, Camlann Manor. Interior Camlann Manor, Grand Hall, Night. Far away, across the English Channel on the western Cornish coast of Great Britain, another mycelium terminal glows softly in the corner of a vast, dimly lit room. Sunlight filters through towering windows, their dark red drapes casting long shadows across a polished marble floor. A grand piano stands silent to one side, its ebony surface reflecting the faint light. The terminal surges with energy. Luminescent spores swirl and form human shapes. Wilbur emerges first, followed by Rosie, Balthazar, Grendel, Bjarn, Gullinbursteed, the soldier, Salome, Thorn, and finally Bill. A man sits at the piano, leaning on a cane, a cigar ember glowing in the shadows. He speaks.
Well, it seems our guests have arrived. It's about bloody damn time.
He remains half in shadow, exhaling a cloud of smoke.
Come now, do you have anything to say for yourselves? I presume you are here for Gloriana.
A regal, ethereal voice echoes from the shadows.
Of course they are, Mr. Churchill. Forgive the Prime Minister's impatience. We'd begun to worry you'd never arrive.
Queen Gloriana steps from the darkest corner of the room, her presence commanding attention. Her antler crown catches moonlight, gossamer wings, creating an otherworldly aura around her. Thorn, Rosie, Balthazar, and Grendel bow and curtsy as she enters. Thorn.
Your Majesty, we are delivering a fallen German soldier, as promised. Apologies for our tardiness. We ran into some obstacles.
Queen Gloriana.
Thorn, in a millennia of servitude, you haven't failed me yet. Balthazar, you remain as trustworthy as ever. Grendel, as promised, you shall be handsomely rewarded.
Grinning.
And Rosie, I'm beginning to see promise.
Rosie.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Gloriana.
May I inspect this soldier?
Thorn.
Yes, of course. I present, well, you see, Your Majesty. He hasn't a name.
Balthazar.
Him no can talk to.
Thorn.
Yes, I'm afraid he lacks the capacity for speech. However, I can assure you, he is exceptionally strong and most capable. A rather formidable specimen, if I may say so.
Rosie.
We called him the soldier.
Gloriana.
Approach me, soldier. Let me have a look at you.
The soldier steps forward. Rosie takes Salome's hand. Rosie, to Salome.
Just stay back here with me, wee one. He'll be fine.
Gloriana, pointing at Bill.
And who is this one?
Bill looks around for other possible Bills, before reluctantly stepping forward. Bill.
I'm Bill, ma'am.
Churchill.
By Jove, a Yankee. Tell me, my boy, did you make land at Normandy?
Bill.
I did, sir. It was hell.
Churchill. Honoring him with his cigar.
Indeed. You have my highest regards.
Gloriana.
Prime Minister, if I may.
Queen Gloriana approaches the soldier, examining every detail of him. She circles slowly, her expression shifting between curiosity and concern. Gloriana, standing straight.
I am Queen Gloriana, ruler and guardian of the realms unseen. The fate of my world, Anwufin, alongside the mortal realm, hangs in balance.
She pauses, her expression intense.
An old foe, an ancient god, known as Wayland the Smith, has grown in power. In his quest for domination, he seeks to choke the earth with technology, using a world war to accelerate the industrialization of the planet. It is his influence that is responsible for the conflict that grips the mortal realm.
Churchill, puffing his cigar.
The blighter's been pulling strings for decades. Hitler's his primary puppet in this grand, terrible show.
Gloriana.
Our plan is simple, yet perilous. You, soldier, a former German militant, must become our agent. Under this guise, You will infiltrate Adolf Hitler's inner circle and then eliminate him. Without their God-influenced leader, the Nazi clan will crumble.
Churchill.
Cut off the serpent's head, as it were.
Bill.
Why not just kill this Wayland instead? Ma'am?
Gloriana, nodding.
Wayland is a primordial god, born alongside the universe itself. Such beings cannot be truly killed. We've tried.
Churchill.
So we must content ourselves with toppling his pawns, starting with that mustachioed maniac in Berlin.
The soldier stands motionless, processing this information. Gloriana's eyes meet the soldier's empty sockets. She places his head in her hands. A surge of gentle red energy flows from Gloriana's palms. The soldier freezes in place. Her expression shifts from authority to surprise and compassion. Queen Gloriana.
There's more to this soldier than metal and circuitry. I sense a mortal man within, buried beneath layers of anguish.
Balthazar.
You say him, man.
Thorn.
Hush.
Gloriana, telepathically, to the soldier.
I feel your pain, your memories, your past. They're not lost, merely hidden.
Gloriana sees memories from the soldier's point of view. Exterior Munich City Square, day, point of view flashback. A pre-war socialist rally in full swing in Munich, Germany. Adolf Hitler's motorcade slowly makes its way down a street of fluttering swastika flags. The Führer himself standing in an open-top car, his arm raised in the Sieg Heil salute. Crowds erupt in frenzied cheers, pushing and shoving to get closer to their leader. Exterior forest clearing, night, point of view flashback. The soldier, as a man, gestures with his hands to a woman and child around a campfire. Voices are muffled, but they are all singing a German song. A child's laughter rings out as she is bounced on the woman's knee. Firelight dances on their blurred features. Cut back to present. Rosie, looking around nervously.
Oh, I've got a bad feeling creeping. We're in danger.
Thorn.
Nonsense, Rosie. This location is secret. No one knows we're here.
Red energy swirls between the soldier and Gloriana as she probes deeper into his memories. Exterior Bavarian forest path, night, point of view flashback. A lone hooded rider on horseback gallops at full speed through a moonlit snowy meadow. As the rider approaches a forest's edge, rifle blasts fire out from the shadows of the trees. Exterior San Pietro Infine, night, point of view flashback. A short-statured Schutzstaffel officer lays face up in a pool of blood and mud. His eye has been shot out along with wounds to his leg. His hand is outstretched and shaking. Schutzstaffel officer, spitting up blood.
Opfermann. Gunther. Opfermann.
Cut back to present. Rosie, panicking.
No. 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 We mustn't stay here. We need to go.
Rosie pulls Salome and Wilbur toward the mycelium terminal.
No.
Wilbur.
Okay, one moment, ma'am.
Brilliant red energy pulses through the soldier's body as Gloriana's hands channel power. She pushes deeper into his mind. Interior Bavarian Forge, night, point of view flashback. The same Schutzstaffel officer, now with an eye patch, grabs the soldier and plunges him headfirst into the blazing hot coals of a blacksmith's forge. The soldier screams in pain as his hands melt from his arms. Interior Goderlock Factory Surgical Room, day, point of view flashback. Scientists stand over the soldier, harsh lights on strange medical equipment, as sounds of sawing, screams, drilling, and welding fill the air. A skull helmet is lowered over his face. Schutzstaffel officer.
Gunther Opfermann. Geistersoldat.
Cut back to present. The red energy vanishes. The room plunges into darkness, Gloriana's expression transforms to terror. Queen Gloriana, whispering,
"He's here."
She turns to the group, alarmed.
"Run, run, run!"
As she yells, Wilbur activates the mycelium terminal. A thunderous crash shakes the manor as Wayland the Smith bursts through the ceiling, showering the room with splintered wood. The impact sends Bill flying across the room where he crumples unconscious. Wayland lands with devastating force, pinning Queen Gloriana to the floor beneath his heavy iron boot. Churchill remains frozen at his piano stool while the soldier stands amid the destruction, encircled by fallen beams and broken furniture. Wayland towers above them all, a giant shirtless figure with grand mechanical wings that flex and contract with each breath. His foot presses down on Gloriana's throat as she struggles beneath him. Wayland, to himself,
"I didn't think it would be this easy."
Queen Gloriana sputters up blood, looking toward her allies. Gloriana,
"You must flee."
The others stand by the mycelium terminal, weapons ready but paralyzed with fear. Queen Gloriana, to Wayland,
"You will never win."
Wayland,
"I already have."
Wayland raises an ornate hammer above his head. Gloriana's final act is a burst of energy that pushes Rosie Balthazar, Thorn, Grendel, Bjarn, Gullinverstie, and Salome into the mycelium terminal. Their last sight before vanishing, Wayland's hammer crushing Gloriana's skull. The soldier stands amid the wreckage, facing Wayland. Churchill remains at his piano, a helpless witness. Wayland's wings spread wide, casting a shadow across the room. He steps off Gloriana's body, leaving bloody footprints as he approaches the soldier. Wayland,
"Is this truly the best they could muster against me? A broken Nazi toy?"
The soldier assumes a fighting stance, crackling with fierce static. Mechanical components tense as he prepares to fight. Wayland,
"Pathetic. You're nothing but scrap metal waiting to be melted down."
The soldier engages in an interactive battle. Wayland lunges forward with unnatural speed. His massive form moves with calculated violence, each strike precise and overwhelming. The soldier counters, but his movements seem sluggish against the ancient god's assault. Wayland's ornate hammer arcs through the air, connecting with the soldier's chest. Metal caves inward as circuits spray sparks across the room. Wayland's boots crush fallen fragments, grinding them to powder beneath his iron soles. Another hammer blow splits the soldier's head, the existing crack splintering across his skull-like face. Limbs tear from their housing with the sound of twisting metal. Dark hydraulic fluid seeps across marble tiles like oil-black blood. Methodically, Wayland reduces the soldier to scattered parts. Each piece that once formed the German war machine lies broken and useless across the manor floor. The final strike lands with terrible certainty. The soldier's chest compartment ruptures under Wayland's hammer. Three red reactor cores tumble across the floor. The cores pulse with vibrant energy, their brightness unchanging even as the mechanical body housing them is destroyed. Churchill stares at the power sources with a mixture of fascination and dread, as they continue to rumble energy despite their vessel's destruction. Wayland,
"I expected more of a challenge than that. How disappointing."
Churchill straightens his bow tie and extinguishes his cigar, addressing Wayland with defiance. Churchill,
"Make it quick then. I won't beg for mercy from the likes of you."
Wayland's wings fold with a metallic screech. A cruel smile forms on his face. Wayland,
"Oh, Winston, you misunderstand. I'm not here to kill you."
Churchill frowns in confusion.
"In fact, I should thank you. You and your ilk. The ministers, the royals, the dukes, the generals. You've all been instrumental in my rise to power."
He gestures grandly, his voice rising with fervor.
"Every sword forged, every bullet fired, every tank built, every bomb dropped,
I grow stronger.
You see, Winston, I need you to keep up the good work.
Churchill pales as understanding dawns. Wayland continues, savoring the moment.
You have two choices, really. Give up the fight and let Hitler run rampant across the planet. Or defend democracy and continue the war alongside your allies. Either way, I win.
Churchill remains silent. Wayland turns toward the wooden entry doors, wings unfurling.
Do carry on, Prime Minister. I'll be watching with great interest.
With a thunderous crash, Wayland kicks the doors open, sending splinters flying. Destruction echoes through the manor as he exits, leaving Churchill alone with the fallen soldier. The soldier's fragments begin to stir. Ethereal green tendrils of seed magic slither across the floor, weaving through the scattered remains. The fragments lift slightly, hovering just above the ground. Metal fuses with metal. Circuits reconnect. The shattered helmet reforms around its distinctive crack. The seed magic pulses rhythmically as it mends the seemingly irreparable damage. With a final surge, the soldier's reconstructed form rises to a standing position. The green tendrils recede into his joints, leaving no trace of his destruction except for a faint, otherworldly hum emanating from his frame. Churchill watches in amazement, his composure momentarily broken. Churchill.
Good God, man. You're full of surprises, aren't you?
The soldier stands restored.
Glad to see you up and about. Would you mind checking on our American friend? I fear he may have caught the worst of it.
The soldier nods and turns to Bill, who lies among the debris. As he approaches, Bill groans and pushes himself up. Bill, dazed.
What happened?
The soldier helps Bill to his feet. Bill steadies himself, still disoriented.
I'm okay, just a little shook up.
Bill notices Queen Gloriana's body.
Is she...
The soldier emits sad sparks. Churchill turns toward the shattered doors, his expression grave as he considers Wayland's visit, Gloriana's death, and the soldier's resurrection. Despite everything, he straightens his posture, refusing to surrender to despair. Churchill.
Gentlemen, all is not lost. We may have suffered a grievous blow, but the fight continues. We shan't let that winged bastard get the best of us.
Taking the soldier's arm.
We still have you, after all. And Hitler still lives. Our plan hasn't changed. Wayland rudely interrupted our exposition, as there is still more to explain about this assassination scheme.
He gestures for them to come closer, lowering his voice.
I've been communicating with dissenting high-ranking officers within the Nazi regime. For the sake of their country, they want the war to end. They've devised a plan to overthrow German ministries, military facilities, radio stations, and telephone exchanges on the event of Adolf Hitler's death. They call it Operation Valkyrie. When it's done, this resistance group will be in command of German forces and the country, not the Nazi party, and they stand ready to act upon Hitler's demise.
Bill looks surprised while the soldier processes the information.
My lead contact, Colonel Klaus von Stauffenberg, is awaiting your arrival at a chapel in Berlin. Colonel Stauffenberg will then assist you by transport to the Führer himself, whereby, as an undercover agent, you'll commit high treason, ending Hitler's reign of terror, and in doing so, ending the war.
Churchill produces a weathered photograph from his jacket and hands it to the soldier.
This is a photo of the Kapelle des Phönix, or Chapel of the Phoenix. A fitting name, really. I've been told it stands out as an anomaly, amongst the brutalist architecture in Berlin. Memorize its appearance, as it is where you are to rendezvous with Stauffenberg.
Churchill spots a long sword mounted on the wall. He retrieves it with surprising agility. The blade catches the light as he faces Bill and the soldier.
Now then, desperate times call for desperate measures, gentlemen. And a touch of ceremony never hurt anyone. If you wouldn't mind kneeling.
He motions for them to kneel. Bill hesitates, confused, while the soldier complies immediately.
In the name of His Majesty and the realm, I dub thee.
He taps the sword on their shoulders.
Knights of the realm, rise and be recognized, Sir William and Sir. Well, we'll work on a name for you later.
Churchill hands the sword to the soldier, who tests it with practiced ease.
Well, I say, that weapon befits you rather well.
Bill looks overwhelmed. Bill.
Mr. Churchill, Prime Minister, sir, I'm not cut out for this. I'm just here by accident. I can't help.
Churchill's expression softens. Churchill.
My dear boy, do you think I was born to be Prime Minister? I'm a puffing, stroke-addled windbag. I'm not fit to run a country, let alone guide one through the darkest hours of war. But when duty called, I stepped into the role for my country.
He places a hand on Bill's shoulder.
Sometimes the most unlikely among us are called to greatness. It's not about being ready, it's about being willing.
Bill swallows hard, nodding as Churchill's words sink in. The silence breaks as Wilbur materializes from the mycelium terminal, cautiously looking around. Wilbur.
Is everything all right? Is it safe?
Churchill.
Ah, perfect timing. We must reunite these two with their fairy companions at once. Their mission is far from over.
The soldier and Bill approach the mycelium terminal. Churchill, shaking Bill's hand.
I doubt we'll meet again, but I trust you'll see this through.
Churchill's expression darkens. He lowers his voice, glancing around.
Before you depart, I must warn you all. There's a traitor amongst your company.
Bill and the soldier exchange wary looks. Wilbur's smile fades.
No one could have known we were at Camlann Manor. Not a soul. Yet Wayland found us with ease. Someone betrayed our location.
The soldier scans the room methodically, as if searching for hidden threats. Wilbur.
Well, that's quite the pickle. But fear not, I know just the place for a clandestine rendezvous.
Wilbur activates the mycelium network. Bioluminescent spores surround the group.
All aboard! Next stop, Bjorn's cozy abode amongst the remote mountains of Norway. The rest of your merry band awaits.
As they prepare to leave, Churchill grips the soldier's arm, his expression grave. Churchill.
Remember, trust no one completely. The fate of the world rests on your shoulders. Godspeed, Knights of the Realm.
With those words hanging in the air, the group vanishes into the network of glowing fungi, leaving behind Churchill and the ruins of Camlann Manor. The weight of betrayal, the difficulty of their mission, and the fate of the world swirls down the mycelium with them. You just finished Act 1 of Unknown Soldier, a story, world, and video game concept by Nick James. Copyright 2025, We Can Rebuild Him. For more information, visit soldierunknown.com.
Thanks for listening. Seriously, why, you're the best listener I've ever laid my eyes on. Better even than my mother, who's also my brother and third cousin twice removed. You should have seen the fungal ears on her. Say, do you have any questions about the story so far? I know I do. For example, is that Balthazar fella really a walking, talking pancake? That's kind of weird, right? And what's that look like anyways? Oh, and here's one. What in the world is an interactive battle? I have no idea. Or more importantly, who do you think the traitor is? Ooh-wee, what a cliffhanger that one is. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret just between you and me. You're my favorite listener, after all. There's a whole website thingy where you can learn all about the story, characters, world, and more. Simply visit www.soldierunknown.com. What's a website, you say? I'll be damned if I know. Why, it's only 1944, after all. But I have a feeling you, fair listener, will figure it out. Now, friends, before I go, don't forget to visit your nearest Wilbur's Wondrous Wares location today. Your next best deal is just around the corner. And remember, great spores grow where smart shoppers go.